When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
For example, the new head of CDC and what the person that Trump would like there, as well as, you know, Trump, who he wants at Health and Human Services, HHS, these are people who don't really believe in the rigor of science. People who don't think that it's important to take the sum total of human knowledge and make our lives better on a day-to-day basis. The idea that RFK Jr. said that NIH shouldn't bother to research infectious diseases for 8 years because they did a great job with COVID. I mean, these are the challenges that we face as a species, as humanity. Welcome back to our latest episode of Trailblaze, and don't forget to sign and all the things, and follow us on audio as well as here on YouTube. Jamal, I had wanted to talk to you this week because there's so many things I'm thankful for of the fact that I was born and raised in the United States. And most of those things are not, I think, what we're paying attention to right now as deeply controversial government institutions, right? So much of what I'm thankful for is that there is a safety and security and a basic standard of living that exists in the United States. It doesn't exist in many parts of the world. And the idea of fundamentally changing or gutting American systems and the federal government, that to me is actually what's at risk here. So I, for example, the new head of CDC and what the person that Trump would like there, as well as, you know, Trump, who he wants at Health and Human Services, HHS, these are people who don't really believe in the rigor of science, people who don't think that it's important to take the sum total of human knowledge and make our lives better on a day-to-day basis. The idea that RFK Jr. said that NIH shouldn't bother to research infectious diseases for 8 years because they did a great job with COVID. I mean, these are the challenges that we face as a species, as humanity. And we have the power as Americans with our ingenuity, our government systems to actually solve for those challenges. So what I look at is this idea that we might be bringing back polio. We're not going to have herd immunity for our children with measles anymore. We are going to be, by eliminating fluoride, which is such an easy fix to put into our water in Oregon when they eliminated it, you had a 700% increase in children going to the emergency room to get antibiotic infusions because their teeth would get infected because they didn't have fluoride in them, right? All of these, because people have been told by now the RFKs, the Trumps, and the Vances of the world not to believe in science and in medicine. And I know there's so much that needs to be fixed, but their version of fixing is breaking what we already have.
Oh, that's absolutely their version of fixing it. You know, we have to, every time I see one of these nominations and people say, I don't know how this person is going to be able to do this job, I think, oh, I guess you missed it. They're not supposed to do the job. That's not their point. The point is to break it. You know, Steve Bannon told us 7 years ago that they were trying to deconstruct the administrative state. That is the project. The project is to take away all the regulations and ideas and ways of doing things that we all have gotten close to. Because if you have chaos, if everybody is pursuing their own individual need, then one, you have a strong man who is mm-hmm. the central organizing principle, and he's the one who can make all the decisions. And then two, the communities of people with wealth and ability can take care of themselves, and they don't have to pay for all the rest of us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just more money for them. Now, I don't know how they think that this ultimately resolves itself. As someone who, you know, I'm sure this has happened to you. You travel abroad, you go to some really great location. Like someone takes you, I remember I was in mm-hmm. South America, and we were in a certain country in South America, which I won't name. And they took us to a great, you know, neighborhood where they were shopping and ice cream. And, you know, it was like going to Georgetown, and all the people were mm-hmm. really pretty, and they were dressed really well. And it was all so wonderful. And then you got to the end of the block, and you saw like an armored personnel carrier and people with machine guns, mm-hmm. right? Because the places where the rich people went, they had to armor them to keep all the poor people mm-hmm. away. That's not the society that I think I want to live in here in the United States.
Well, the promise that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have made is that you too can be a billionaire. And that's a false promise, because right now Elon Musk gets billions of dollars, nearly $5 billion of government subsidies for his technology companies. And now is it part of a government institution that's going to be created to slash budgets elsewhere. And it's such an on-the-nose example of how it's about what they can do for themselves and people they want to include in this project and not everybody else, right? So they are okay with that version of the world.
They've got Linda McMahon.
They want that version of the world, right? Where the rich people get separated from the poor.
Oh, totally. It's so ridiculous, right? We focus a lot on Matt Gaetz and obviously the Defense Department nominee mm-hmm. Exeth, and the DNI, Giffords, Tulsi Gabbards. Sorry, mm-hmm. talking about Tulsi and having these people who are the big shining examples. But then you've got like Linda McMahon, who is the World Wrestling. Like the WWE CEO, who's going to be the Secretary of Education, who knows nothing about education, except that you should privatize everything mm-hmm. and take the money away from public schools and give it to people to pay for their own private educations. So, you know, all of this is going back to the same fundamental thing. And I forgot to tell you this. So in our part of New Jersey, New Jersey doesn't have a mandatory fluoride law. Mm-hmm. And so our part of New Jersey doesn't have fluoride in the water. So our pediatrician has prescribed these daily multivitamins that include fluoride for the kids, right? But everybody knows, like, one, if you don't have a pediatrician that prescribes fluoride, a lot of, you know, poor kids won't have it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But two, taking something in a pill form isn't the same as getting it mm-hmm. in like a natural form. So this is this is not the way I think the whole country wants to live. I grew up in a place where we have fluoride in the water. I literally do not have a cavity. I don't have a single cavity. Now, some of that is genetics. My dad doesn't have a mm-hmm. cavity either, my brothers. But, like, I don't have a cavity, mm-hmm. right? I think this is something we have to pay attention to.
Yeah, you talk about the idea of the shiny objects of national security and danger to democracy. I'm like, well, I'm looking at what's maintaining our basic quality of life. And when that gets attacked in favor of people who already have everything and they want more of everything, and now they're redesigning the system for themselves, there's no amount of, you know, people like you and me trying to get rich that's ever going to include us in their little universe, right? So you talk about that shopping district.
I don't know about you. I'm trying to get rich with all those people.
I listen, I would happily be okay. a billionaire, but they're still not going right. to sit there and say, oh, you can buy a house next door to mine on, right? No. And then we'll share the resources of our armored vehicles, right? We're the ones right. who actually have to raise ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're not the ones who've gotten daddy to invest a couple million dollars in whatever mm-hmm. our venture is. Right. So they sell
and
they us
go bankrupt and start over again
11 times if they need to. Like, they sell us yeah. this dream and this idea, and it's not how they play the game themselves. And for example, something like the Department of Treasury, like, oh, you know, you point a hedge fund manager, somebody who understands Wall Street, knows how to work with those folks and isn't going to totally destroy the idea of the financial system. Why is that the agency that they don't want to totally destroy and change fundamentally? Because it benefits them. They want somebody who's going to help and not mess up their stock prices. They want somebody who knows how to talk to the big CEOs and the big bankers to keep their money flowing. But that guy is not going to take that job and then try to figure out how can we make something like Robinhood, which is making investment easier and using the market easier for people like us. They're not looking to support a Robinhood. In fact, when Robinhood had that whole GameStop run and they were, there's all sorts of money being traded around, all these hedge fund owners, private equity folks, all these bank CEOs freaked out because there was a collective community element to this that they don't want involved in the financial system. That's not what this guy is going to do. He's not going to make it easier for the rest of us to access it. He's going to protect the interests of Trump, Elon Musk, and their fellow billionaires.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was watching because Instagram, somehow my Instagram algorithm now is serving me some really odd things. But one of them is Senator Josh Hawley, who was taking after the CEOs of Visa and MasterCard about 6 days ago, taking after the CEOs of Visa and MasterCard for how much money they made. They admitted they had a over 50% profit margin at Visa and MasterCard. Now, he was coming after them because he was talking about interchange fees, right? And so they don't want to have more competition in the credit card market. And so he was really like laying into them for this. Now, it's clear he's got some other, I'm sure, wealthy constituents or other people
who want in on that market,
who want to get in on this market. But the rhetoric that he was using, right? The rhetoric was all about how they were, 50% profit margins. The banks were charging 29% interest on over $1.5 or $1.7 trillion in credit card debt that the people had, and how we had to, democratize this market, more competition, which I'm for democracy. I'm for more competition. But the reality, I'm thinking the Republicans are now rhetorically going after the same kind of big business arguments that we were going after, while we seem to be being kind of mealy-mouthed about how we feel about big business.
I think this last phase...
Like, we got to be careful. I think they're up to something.
This last phase of the election, we definitely lost the economic populist argument, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea that in the Obama administration, for example, Treasury Department went after overdraft fees. Like, if you're overdrafting from your account, you're probably not able to hit a $30 bill on top of that just to recover, the $10 that you went overdraft, right? So those overdraft fees...
And it keeps piling on and on.
And banks, that's just pure profit for banks. Pure profit. There's no other reason for it. It's penalty and pure profit for you to access your own money. And then they make it harder for you to access your own money. That's a good use of the Treasury Department, is to go after that type of predatory financing move. That language has essentially disappeared from what Democrats talk about in terms of policy. I mean, Elizabeth Warren, very much that was one of, how she talks about it. And so the Republicans are taking this economic populist piece of the puzzle, but also attaching it to the let's break the system, which I find very, very interesting.
Yeah, one of the best things they did in the Biden administration was go after, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but they went after airlines for if they cancel your flight, they have to give you an almost automatic refund. They can't just, put you up in a hotel room or give you a voucher. They have to give you your money back, which to me has been one of the things that annoys me the most. If you're 45 seconds late for a flight, they can bounce you off that flight and then charge you extra money to rebook to get onto another flight to go where you want to go. But they could be 5 hours late. They could be 5 hours late and not owe you anything. Mm-hmm. Or they can cancel the flight altogether, not owe you anything. Or they can overbook the flight and not give you a seat that you've been sitting waiting for a month. Mm-hmm. You could show up and be like, oh, no, we overbooked the flight. You don't have a seat anymore. And then basically be like, oh, we'll just rebook you later. Even though like the dinner I'm going to, the wedding I'm trying to attend,
the family
funeral
vacation
service I'm trying
that you
get
have to get everybody's schedules
the family
aligned.
Vacation.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Exactly. I got two kids under the age of 5 who now have to sit here and eat Doritos in the, in the airport.
$5 Doritos, by the way. $5 Doritos.
Right. $5 Doritos until the next flight leaves. Like, they don't care about any of that. My kids are going to lose their shit, by the way, if they have to sit here for four hours waiting. And you don't want that for anybody. But now they did this. The Biden administration said they have to give you your money back. And I saw a quote from a CEO of an airline industry.
Delta CEO.
Saying, we are coming after that. We want that back. We want Trump to repeal this regulation.
Also, don't say that out loud, guy, because you're really giving away the game. That what you want is to be able to gouge the rest of us, as we're just trying to use technology to live our lives. Like, I would like to fly to see my family instead of driving 13 hours. That's what we're doing. And instead, these folks will be like, oh, what other ways can we make money off of you? And yes, this idea that there are regulations that make our daily lives better. We should keep those regulations. We should not keep regulations that protect the wealthy and the rich CEOs to make more money off of our tax dollars. Like, that's, to me, it is government should be doing things for us, not to us. And these guys who are in power right now, no problem doing things to us, right? They'll do it to us in uncomfortable and terrible positions, but they will now deny us the good things that government did for us.
Oh, yeah. And they'll do it with reckless abandon. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to, you know, this is something that Democrats are going to have to get on the other side of this, or else we're going to keep getting smoked in some of these elections. The good news is we did pretty well down ballot. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody about this week, about how the election sorted out. And obviously Kamala Harris lost. I think it was a decisive loss. I do not think it was a landslide, but I do think it was decisive, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we don't have a lot of questions about it. But if you look down ballot, we actually did pretty well in state legislatures. We did pretty well, you know, in Congress. We didn't win Congress back, but, you know, we did okay. We won Senate seats that Donald Trump won, you know, the popular vote in. We still won those Senate seats. So we have something to build on here. There's something to say. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that all is lost, but the Republicans are figuring out how to cape populism, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're figuring out how to make it look like they really care about everybody while they still just take care of all their rich folks.
Well, I actually think some of them are being more blunt and saying, like Elon Musk says, there will be a lot of people hurt on the front end. It's going to hurt. I'm like, mm-hmm. got it. That's it. That's your plan.
Right. Not going to hurt you.
Buddy. Exactly.
Right. Not going to hurt you.
He's building his compound for all of his, you know, however dozens of children he has. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine with his government subsidies. No problem. So I will say this.
Yeah. And someone told me there are some of these guys who is it? They're like out on boats. They live on boats now. Have you heard about this? Like some of these billionaires.
With a full staff.
They don't actually dock. Yeah. Full staff. Mm-hmm. They just dock the boat or get tenders to bring out, you know, food for them, mm-hmm. but they never actually like get off the boat and like come sort, you know, hang out with the rest of us. Mm-hmm. Maybe this started during the pandemic, but people who like, you know, they just don't cotton the rest of us anymore.
Oh, I mean, listen, there was an entire climate change international conference trying to get ahead of the fact that our earth is warming and turning to a crisp. And they finally figured out after two extra days, the pressure of just being together at this event, had these negotiators figure out how much money they were going to put towards fixing some of these problems, right? And it's not nearly enough, but yes, that's what they're going to use some of the money for. And meanwhile, you've got these guys just like, oh, we already figured out. We're not going to solve this problem of climate change and adapt for the rest of you. If sea levels are going to rise and get rid of coastal cities and make it hard to farm on land, we're going to make fake food and we're going to live off the water. Awesome. So it's just not going to be a scaled enterprise for the rest of us.
One of the most popular places to live right now, to move to, is Utah, right? Like mm-hmm. people are moving to Utah and Idaho. One, they don't have to, you know, hang out with brown people. And two, the ice pack is there. So they have fresh water. Mm-hmm. And they can be high enough in elevation that they don't really have, they're not going to be dealt with by, you know, coastal erosion or any of that business. So a lot of the wealthy people are moving to the mountains of the central part.
It's also
of the
what
country.
Makes Montana so expensive now. One of the most expensive states to live, right? Where it's this is what's happening. Yeah. You said mountain states are changing. And I will end it on this then, which is that we should be thankful for what we have right now, because it might not be here in the next 4 years.
It's true. But I am also thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for our audience. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for you, Nayara, for being a wonderful co-host and really, you know, helping to push me and push all of us to think about things that we may not have at top of mind. So this has been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to doing this a lot as we get into 2025.
Thank you, Jamal.